Paul and Steve Cern. Paul, I'll start with you. When was the first time that Kobe Bryant registered on your basketball radar?
Well, I think it was when he was drafted, because even though there have been numerous players drafted out of high school, I think what made Kobe unique was he was so dominant as a young player and was one of the few players that really appeared to be NBA ready, even though he wasn't. He was still 17, and it took him a couple of years to get comfortable. But the one moment where I knew Kobe Bryant, and I was familiar with his dad, Joe Jelly Bean Bryant, but the one time when I really realized that Kobe was something unique was when he shrugged off the Karl Malone screen in an All-Star game, and Malone took umbrage with it, and the veterans took umbrage. But to have a young guy like that, so confident, so cocky, that he was going to do it on his own, and he didn't care that it was Karl Malone, I thought that was very interesting. And then the legend of Kobe started to grow from there.
Steve Cyr, you're also on the line here. And Steve, when you look at Kobe Bryant's skill set, you know, it seems to me, and I've used the word, he was relentless in his pursuit of improvement. Would that say that's accurate? And if so, what did you see from him that kind of, you know, taught you and made you learn how to play the game at that high level?
I think what you said was, I think myself and a few others, I heard them say just about exactly what you said, Jason, of how he was, what was most admirable about Kobe in a lot of ways was how he was so single-minded and so determined to improve in every way, shape, or form that he possibly could. And people say that, and then you hear the stories about Kobe and the urban myths of his workout routines and what he would do with, you know, times that he would get up and things that he would do in the gym and how no one ever beat him to the gym. And then they would take on these almost kind of like mythical status of, you know, Kobe's working out at 1 a.m. and then he's back in the gym at 5 a.m. Like he just, there was these things that became attached to him as a player because of his, like you said, relentless pursuit of improvement. When I was a young kid, I didn't really know what was going to happen with Kobe Bryant when the Lakers traded Vlade Divac away to acquire him in the draft, because as a young guy, you thought like, well, Vlade's really good. Why are they trading him away from this high school kid?
Yeah.
And you could tell the Lakers, one, saw something special in him, and two, were probably seeing a couple moves down the road of making room for a different type of center to come play in LA for a little while. But you could tell right away when Kobe was a young guy that people were going to like him. He was very marketable. He was very charismatic. He won the dunk contest with Through the Legs, East Bay Funk dunk, and people liked him right away. So it was a great example for young kids to see a guy that was popular that was also such a relentless worker. And it wasn't something that you could say like, well, I want to be like Kobe. Well, it was like, well, you better be a little bit nuts then and be willing to go to the gym at any at all times. So it was a great example to set for young kids.
And the impact he had on basketball, Paul, what do you think that was long-term?
Well, long-term, I read an article today and it really crystallized what I've always believed about Kobe, but this particular writer's perspective was Kobe wanted to be Michael Jordan, and he really modeled his mentality and his workouts and his relentless pursuit of excellence and championships and even the style of play. He really played a lot like Michael Jordan played. But that, I think, is the impact. Is Kobe carried forward what Jordan brought, which it was what Steve just referred to, as this kind of almost insane work ethic and relentless pursuit of excellence, relentless pursuit of championships, not necessarily looking to be popular in the locker room, but rather looking for results. Kobe was even, where I find Kobe interesting is he was even less trusting of his teammates than Michael Jordan was. And I thought that for me is what keeps Kobe out of my top 10 players of all time, just in terms of my own opinion in what I've seen. But his impact and his popularity, and I also think his unique journey, making the mistake, the big mistake that he made with the sexual assault charges, but also his willingness to step up, own up to the mistake, and to change and to be better. And I think that's what one of the aspects of this tragedy, which is so sad, is here's a guy who had a very, very different path after he left basketball. He didn't automatically run to the broadcast booth. He went in a whole different and very unique and special direction. So I think there's lots of lessons in Kobe's life and legacy, both as a player, but also as a flawed, very flawed individual, but ultimately as a man who was really pursuing his own path.
This is Basketball Hour. We've got Paul, sir, and Steve, sir, as well. Steve, there's videos floating all over the place on the internet. You know, obviously a lot of that today, and talking, showing how he was very hard to play with and against in practice, and he was so forceful. What is the impact of someone like that when you know, he's obviously acknowledged as one of the best players of his generation, and you know, you have a guy who's the eighth best on the Lakers, and Kobe Bryant's call him out saying, "You're charming soft, we're charming soft." Like, you know, how did that all work together and function for Kobe and his teammates?
Well, I think a lot of people, when they see that, they get the goosebumps of, oh, wow, that's so intense and that's so amazing. Well, imagine putting yourself on the other side of that, where Kobe's the one coming after you, and how inspiring and charming that would feel if you were the guy that he was killing in practice and going after. I had some really strong personality teammates in college, and they were nowhere near as demanding as a guy like Kobe would have been, but it's not easy to navigate that with guys who can get a little bit volatile and can get really competitive and have that emotion and those types of things come to the surface and boil over a little bit. What Kobe did that was different than the guys that I played with is, one, no one outworked him, and that was, I think, where it came from, of this suspicion and maybe possibly levels of distrust to teammates, of they're just not pushing themselves as hard as they should be, because look at all the things that I am doing. I've always admired that about Kobe Bryant, because, again, it was about those things of what separates great players from iconic players is those small, indescribable, minute, microscopic details. And he would spend hours and hours and weeks and months and years working on those things. And everyone admired it, but then it was another thing to actually be as invested as he was to go ahead and do it. It would be awfully tough to be a Sasha Vujacic, to be on the other end of those verbal tirades that Kobe was famous for. But I think as a competitor, when you remove the emotion from it, it's hard not to look at it from a perspective of, like, one, this is the NBA. It's not for little kids. It's not for guys to get really really upset and in their feelings about it. But you're talking about dealing with one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and if those are the things you're going to have to deal with in order to play with him, whether you like it or not, that's just a part of the league. And it gets romanticized on social media a little bit. But I think one of the things you have to always remember, and you know this, Jason, because of the level you played at, like, that's where the big guys are. And you have to be really thick-skinned, especially when one of the big guys comes after you.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, as a coach, Paul, I think that have that type of person in your room, it can be difficult to manage. Because I'm guessing at times, well, I'm not guessing, the relationship that Kobe had with his coaches sometimes wasn't exactly the most healthiest relationship, because Kobe demanded excellence out of himself and everyone around him, including the coach. And if they were on the same page, I think that would be difficult. And it was Phil Jackson who, I think, at one point admitted that he can't coach Kobe anymore.
I think Kobe largely was uncoachable from the standpoint of getting him to do what you wanted him to do. Because
right.
You weren't going to impose your will on him. And,
right.
And when
right.
I think of Phil Jackson, one of the reasons I do admire Phil Jackson is that he was able to handle Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And to me, that was... he was able to contain them and to make them productive
and to help
take their ultra competitiveness, what Steve just referred to, in terms of, if you're on the receiving end of that, that's not easy to deal with. But he was able to contain it and to channel it and to build around it in order to get the most productivity. And in the end, all the championships that Jackson led teams got to. So, yeah, you're not going to win with Kobe or Michael. You can only battle them so far, but you've got to contain them and have them work productively within the framework of the team.
Steve, you know, Kobe was a great player on so many levels, and we know he's a competitor. But was there an iconic move or like you think of James Harden, what is it, the three-point step back? That seems to be his mm-hmm. move. Is there something that you know you would assign to Kobe Bryant as far as this is Kobe Bryant or people are now using or stealing his moves to do it like this now in the NBA?
I don't know if a lot of guys do the same things that Kobe did. Like Kobe took what Jordan had made so famous of the fadeaway, of being able to create space mm-hmm. after initiating some contact and things like that. One of the things that I think had become so synonymous with Kobe, especially as he got a little bit older, was a similar thing that came so synonymous with Jordan was his footwork. Of he was able to use fakes and keep guys off balance, and the way that he was able to maneuver and manipulate his body came from his footwork. And when people started to give credit to, and it didn't happen the same way when Jordan was playing, because basketball wasn't analyzed the same way that it was even 5 years ago. So people started to get more in tune to the idea of like, you know, well, how does someone develop footwork like that? That's days and weeks and months and years of time doing the most tedious, minuscule details and going over and over and over again until you've mastered it. And I think that was what became synonymous with Kobe, was through his obsessive work ethic, he was able to do things that other players just couldn't do. How that's carried over to the league, I think, I don't know if there's guys that shoot the fadeaway in the NBA the same way that Kobe did, as the NBA's kind of shifted a little bit away from the ISO stuff that Jordan and Kobe were so dominant with. But the thing that I've always liked about Kobe and really respected, and what I think carries forward to the league now, is it became cool with Kobe to be a worker. There was that really bad era in the NBA in the early 2000s where it was the Allen Iverson practice thing, and it became kind of cliche to say, like, well, I'm a good basketball player, but I'm just that way. And, like, I show up and I turn it on. And people were buying into that of, like, the too cool for school kind of thing, where it was, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do my thing, but I'm not going to really push myself on days off. And Kobe, I feel like, switched that a bit, mm-hmm. and it became like, it was cool to be a hard worker. It was cool to be in the gym. It was cool to be pushing yourself. And you saw how that affected LeBron and Durant and Kawhi and Russell Westbrook and all these guys, because then it became, these guys are relentless workers. These guys are this. These guys are that. They live in the gym. I feel like that pendulum swung started with Kobe, because the corner-cutting superstar of, I don't work like my job depends on it, was where the NBA was at. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of became the Kobe era, and it swung back to like, man, if you're not in the gym, then you're in the wrong league. And I really admired that about Kobe, because that should be what the NBA's message is these guys are in the gym more than anybody else, and that's why they're in the league, not just because they're amazingly gifted athletes, but because they work their butts off and because they push themselves every day. And Kobe was at the forefront of that.
Steve, that's a great place to leave that. I really appreciate you calling in, and best of luck with all your endeavors as you work towards your 3-on-3 Olympic run.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me.